There were also similar assaults on rural estates along the way. In fact, in the summer of 1774, the real high point of this movement, something like 3,000 landlords and officials were killed. The government was, needless to say, terrified, and with good reason. There were many stories that, especially reports by secret police, that there was widespread support in the lower classes, even in the cities. Now, as matters turned out, once well-trained troops arrived, though not without some difficulty, the army was defeated, Pugachev was arrested, put in chains, put in an iron cage, taken to Moscow, where he was violently executed, drawn and quartered in public. Now, to better understand this revolt, though, and why peasants flocked to it, first it's useful to understand, at least to remember, where it took place. The Volga River Valley, the Ural region, had been until recently frontiers, places where serfs and peasants could flee to, and where the state was increasingly expanding its control, and with it, serfdom. This region was also a center of religious dissidence, in particular a center of old belief. And of course, as the state's reach expanded, these freedoms were restricted. Another group that also responded to Pugachev's appeals were factory serfs, so-called ascribed workers, attached to factories, who were more numerous, especially in the Urals, than anywhere else. The mid-18th century was a time of rapid industrial growth in this region, and conditions in these factories where serfs were ascribed were often horrible, such that serfs sometimes had to be chained to the machines. They so hated these conditions, feeling this was not appropriate to what their life was about. And there were even petitions to Catherine the Great, and even some violent rebellions by factory serfs, some of them connected to earlier rumors that Peter III had returned. There were also ethnic minorities in these regions who had various grievances against the central estate, in particular the Bashkirs, who had been a nomadic group for whom the state was saying it was time to give up your nomadic ways, become settled as peasants, which meant serfs, and give up your pagan beliefs. Most importantly, of course, as I've mentioned, the Cossacks of the Urals were under assault. The central state was doing everything it could to make sure that it wasn't harboring runaway serfs, and also increasingly trying to reduce the traditions of autonomous self-government among the Cossacks. All these groups joined Pugachev's cause because it spoke to their needs in many ways, whether or not they really believed this was Peter III come back. And we need to still go deeper into this movement to understand the ideas, and it's possible to do this partly just by looking at the grievances as I've described, but we can do better. There's also more direct sources. After the defeat, there was an extensive government study of the causes. And even more interestingly, there were lots of printed proclamations, many of which repeated even speeches made by Pugachev. Many of these proclamations, typically, of course, signed Peter III, were quite specific in stating the goals of the movement. Typically, for example, all peasants should cease to be serfs and should become peasants of the crown, a sort of perhaps naive belief that if they belonged to the Tsar, they would be allowed to be freer. They were told, these petitions said, these state proclamations said that all the land should belong just to them. All the land, the fields they work, the estate lands, the meadows, the forests, and they shouldn't have to pay anything for it. After all, they work the land, it by rights should belong to them. They shouldn't have to pay taxes. They shouldn't be recruited into the army. Not very civic-minded of them, but nonetheless an indication of really how they thought. Please leave us alone. And also, for many of them, it was important to have a return to the old religious traditions. As it was said, the old cross, the old prayers, heads and beards, liberty and freedom. And beside these specific promises that were in these proclamations, the tone and language of them is also rather revealing about the ideals of this movement, and it's partly what made them so compelling. Consider, for example, a speech Pugachev gave at the beginning of this movement to a group of Cossacks who were hiding, by the way, to escape punishment from an earlier rebellion. He began by explaining that he was Peter III and that the landowning nobles deposed him and, as he said, forced me to wander over the face of the earth. He said, I went to Constantinople, I went to Jerusalem, and I traveled all over this great land of ours. And he said, the nobles hate me, and I'll tell you why.